Welcome to season two of Shortcut to Slim, a research podcast on dieting and nutrition brought to you by GetMealPlans.com. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon, and I'm kicking off season two with an update and a confession. In this episode, I'll also talk about BMR, BMI, visceral fat, subcutaneous fat, the one and only thing you absolutely need to fear when it comes to weight loss, and what's on the agenda for season two. So, another year and another body scan. 2 years ago, I blogged on happyherbivore.com about how the plant-based diet made me an overeater. That is, it's not all you can eat. Plants don't have magic calories that don't count, and the one and only beautiful simple part to weight loss is that you have to have a calorie deficit. I then updated a year later with some terrific before and after pictures that you should definitely check out, and I kicked off this podcast, breaking down the science and research that led to my weight loss success. Basically, I'm reading all the books and trudging through all the data so that you don't have to. You can find links to these blog posts and my before and after pictures in the show notes. Visit getmealplans.com/podcast. So, thanks to all of this research, I finally stopped overeating and I had a tremendous loss, 19 total pounds of pure body fat. And what I mean by that is my muscle mass, body water, and bone density have been near identical through all of the scans. The only difference was a loss of body fat. And you can see all of my scans and pore over them in your own time. Visit getmealplans.com/body scans. And as for my physical appearance, holy smokes, 13% body fat looks so good. Definitely check out my before and after pictures. So my first scan was in July 2013, and I had my second scan last year in March 2016. Between those two scans, I had a tremendous loss, 16 pounds of pure body fat. Now, I knew this year's scan wouldn't be as dramatic, and I didn't want it to be. My goal was maintenance. I wanted to have the same scan as the previous year. So these results are everything I hoped for and then some. Since last year, I've gained 1 pound of muscle and lost an additional 3 pounds of body fat. These results indicate that I'm definitely in maintenance mode and that my total weight loss was and is maintainable. The change to my visceral fat further echoes this. Visceral fat is the fat around your organs, and it's arguably the worst fat to have because too much of it can really affect hormone function and your organ function. My visceral fat went from a level 3, which is already very healthy, to a level 2, which is insanely healthy. I think this decrease in my visceral fat explains the minor changes in my body composition. That is, the change is mostly improved organ function. A tiny, tiny decrease in my subcutaneous fat, which I'll talk about a little bit later, that probably contributed to the positive change as well. And my body now has near perfect muscular symmetry, meaning the amount of muscle on the right side of my body is exactly the same as the muscle on the left side of my body. So there's no more imbalances going on. That also contributed to the positive change in my body composition. Anyway, I see all of this as my body slowly working its way to the healthiest body possible. It's sort of like how once you remove all of the crap from your house or from the garage, you can really give it that good, deep cleaning. And then afterward, as you're slowly moving everything back in, you can really take care to label and organize so everything's just really efficient. But above all, I'm just so happy to be free of all of the misinformation. Plants don't have magic calories that don't count. It's not all you can eat. And I know this for sure now. I know for sure that the one and only beautiful thing to weight loss and maintenance is to not overconsume calories. Calories still count and calories still matter. Of course, not all calories are equal, as we learned in episode 2, 3, 4, and basically all of last season. For example, not every calorie is nutritionally equivalent, comparing carrots to carrot cake. Not every calorie satiates the same way, comparing potatoes to potato chips. Not every calorie has the same bioavailability or is absorbed or stored the same way, taking account Oreos versus apples. And this is why you can't truly count calories or rely on counting calories like religion. It's not straight math. And even if you do measure and weigh everything perfectly, you still don't know the true bioavailability or the cost of digestion, meaning how the calories are absorbed, applied, or used on the back end, or how the food you ate for dinner yesterday might affect how you store and absorb calories at breakfast today. Anyway, a few other notes about me and my most recent body scan. I mentioned earlier that the 3-pound fat loss was mostly due to a reduction in visceral fat, the fat around my organs, but that it was also likely from a tiny, tiny decrease in my subcutaneous fat, which is the fat stored just under the skin. Over the last year, my skin has really bounced back from the big loss the previous year. A year ago, I had a lot of hangy skin, particularly in my midsection. If I sat down, it bunched up, and I also had ruffling around my knees and my elbows, and most of that is gone now. It's been very slow, but I'm perfectly happy about all that. You'll also notice between the scans that my BMR, basal metabolic rate, it went up 9 calories. Oh boy. Although this increase, as sad and funny as it is, does reinforce the science in episode 5 of last season that your metabolism does not slow as you age. It only slows as you lose muscle. I'm a year older, but my metabolism went up because I gained 1 pound of muscle. I also want to talk quickly about BMI, especially since it sort of leads us into a topic that's going to be in the next episode. BMI, body mass index, supposedly measures your body fat based on your height and weight. I say supposedly because BMI charts are hideously inaccurate. Bodybuilders, for example, are obese by BMI standards because they weigh so much for their height, even though it's not fat, it's muscle. And this is also why your scale weight is relatively useless. It doesn't tell you your fat to muscle ratio. It doesn't tell you that body fat percentage. In fact, you could be happy with your scale weight and still not like how you look. That was me. I thought all my dreams would come true if I weighed 125 pounds. Why? I went to a Lakers game and that was the weight of all the hot cheerleaders that were my height. Yet when I got to that weight, my legs still rubbed together and my stomach hung like a balloon and I definitely didn't look like a Lakers girl. Ultimately, it didn't matter what the scale said if I didn't like how I looked or if I wasn't comfortable. And I keep thinking back to that very first time I ever had my body fat measured, which was before I even had that scan in 2013. You have a really high percentage of body fat for your weight. That's what the technician told me. It didn't matter that I was at a, quote, healthy weight. I was at the tippy top of what was considered healthy in terms of body fat. This was not ideal. Lowering your body fat percentage is what we really mean to say when we say, I want to lose weight, because you don't just want to lose weight. If that was the case, you could just go cut off your leg and you'd be happy because you would instantly weigh less. What you really want to do is reduce your body fat and/or change your body composition, and it's super important to keep that perspective. And this is why I stepped off the scale and started measuring my health through my body fat percentage, because those scans really showed me what my body looked like, more so than a scale or a number or even a tape measurement ever could. So, what else about me has changed since last year? Well, the last year I ate less perfect, but yet I still managed to perfect my health, as is evident by my new scan. At the start of season 1, I mentioned that there's this attitude, especially in the plant-based community, but also in a lot of healthy lifestyle communities, that anything that's wrong with you, it's your fault for not being perfect. If you aren't losing weight, for example, it's because you aren't being perfect. You're eating oil or sugar or too many nuts or not enough greens or you're cheating in some way. I hate this attitude. I want to live in a way that doesn't require perfection. That if I don't go to yoga or I eat a vegan cookie, I'll still be healthy. I really wanted to embody my progress, not perfection mantra. So I stopped worrying if something had a little bit of oil in it. I compared calories instead. I also bought more prepared foods like marinara sauce or hummus or enchilada sauce and frozen rice rather than spending all of my time making it myself. Last year was truly the year of shortcuts. I also didn't care about organics, GMO, or even really sodium. Now, I tried to make the best consumer choices and pick my very best options, but my number one focus was on doing whatever I needed to do to eat at home, cook, and follow my meal plan. After that, it was about calories, and after that, well, I was just too tired to do any more analysis. Now, I absolutely agree that some foods, like high fructose corn syrup, are not healthy and they should be avoided, but to occasionally consuming them isn't worth the finger point because 3 other fingers still point right back at you. Here's what season one taught us and what I learned firsthand experimenting on myself all last year. If you want to fear anything, it's an overabundance of calories, no matter the source. Excess is still excess. You don't get an award for eating too much healthy stuff. That's no different than overfilling your car's gas tank. You can put the right gas in all you want, but eventually it's going to start spraying back at you and create a fire hazard. But I get it. It's a lot easier and much, much more comfortable to focus on diet, to focus on some element of a food and ignore the thoughts and behaviors. I said in last season that whatever it takes to lose weight is what it takes to keep it off, and that is absolutely true, and why behavior modification is the most effective weight loss strategy. But I'm going to get into all of that later. Now for the big ballsy confession that I promised. A few weeks ago, I read an editorial piece where the author said she lost 30 pounds, but she didn't want an applause. The author admitted that, yes, she was afraid of dying and diabetes and heart disease and the cancer that haunted her family reunions. But what she was most afraid of was being fat. She was afraid of workplace discrimination and social erasure. Her candidness gave me the courage to say this. It is easier to be skinny in our society. And I'm going to offer my experience as a testament. As soon as I walk into a clothing store now, sales girls rush over and help me, and they bring me clothes that I don't ask for, commenting on how perfect my body is for this or that, and they often touch me the entire time while they do this, which makes me supremely uncomfortable. In the past, it was difficult to get anyone to help me figure out my size, let alone bring me a different size. People hold doors for me now too, and I've had so many awkward instances of sort of lunging forward, trying to grab a handle that was now just right out of my grasp because I didn't realize or expect them to open the door for me. It's super awkward, and I always end up apologizing and feeling really weird. I remember when this first started happening too, that I just told my friend, I'm smaller now, but somehow people see me more. And perhaps most notably, the big difference I've really noticed is that friends and family, they pay attention and actively listen when I talk about health, nutrition, or even the weather. In fact, no one challenges me anymore, at least not about being vegan. And perhaps some of that is, well, I've been vegan for 10 years, and so it's wear and tear. But I don't think that's all of it, because 7 years in, people still tried to tell me all the ways in which vegan was unhealthy. And I think that's because I was still chubby. Strangers will also stop me and ask me what my diet or exercise regimen is, and that always gets awkward because they never like my answer. Men honk at me like they used to do when I was 16, and oh my gosh. So I had to get my wedding ring resized, and the day I took it in, that day I got asked out in Trader Joe's. No one has asked me out on a date in over 12 years. I got married when I was 24. I don't think it was just my wedding ring. And now, this is what I have to say. This is my real confession. I feel guilty about all of this. Sad. Shameful sometimes. For years, I was embarrassed to tell anyone I went vegan for vanity. I wanted to be skinnier. I didn't want embarrassing acne anymore. I mean, I loved animals too, but really, it was all about me. Of course, the reasons I stayed vegan multiplied like rabbits in the spring, and I hold all of these reasons very dear still. And I also had a health scare before I was vegan that did make me seek a healthier diet, but even as I was reading about how plants might protect me from cancer, there was still that thought circling in the back of my head that, well, maybe this will make me skinny too. And sometimes, I really can't believe I'm about to say this, I worry I'll gain it all back. In fact, that's part of why I started researching behavior modification. I was tired of spending my life fussing and fretting and worrying and struggling and praying for willpower. And if you're tired of getting into heated debates with yourself over what you're eating and if it's a healthy choice or if you deserve it or if it counts or asking yourself, why do I keep this? You're really going to love this season. You're going to learn all about brain science, environmental triggers, and the incredible psychology behind why we eat, overeat, binge, plateau, and sabotage ourselves. Making good food and dietary choices definitely makes losing weight and maintaining easier. And an example that I gave in season one was that it's a lot easier to run a marathon if you quit smoking first. But a good diet works best when it's paired with behavior modification and appropriate environmental changes like portion control. Behavior modification, including meal plan, has been my solution, and I'm really excited to focus on cognitive therapy and behavior modification in this season. You've been listening to Shortcut to Slim, brought to you by GetMealPlans.com. Download your free research-based meal plan at GetMealPlans.com and leave the guesswork and science to me. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon, and I'll be back next week talking about ideal weight, set points, and the whoosh effect. If you like what you've heard, please do me a favor and rate it on iTunes. It really helps. You can get more info about this and other episodes, including links to research, at GetMealPlans.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.